So it's just like, oh, okay, well, we already knew. You know, half of the response was like, of course, we already knew, like, the moment we met you. And you're like, okay. So it was much simpler that way, just to do it like that, as opposed to, you know, had I maybe done it in high school, it might have been more of a ticker tape banner parade. But I've never felt the need to be flashy or showy with, you know, with these kinds of announcements. It was more like I opened the door and, like, slid out, as opposed to just, like, bursting through. The parts of my personality that feel different now that I'm out, I guess because a lot of sassy attitude will come out if I have an opinion about something, or if I'm, like, a little inebriated, and, like, this kind of, like, sassy, like, not passive aggressive, but just, you know, very, I don't know, it's just this kind of attitude comes, like, this personality comes out, and I guess you would call it, like, the gay personality, you know, like, the sassy gay. That part of myself comes out more, or at least I don't feel like I have to censor it as much. I don't have to sort of check in on, like, is my voice being low? Am I, you know, is my masculine physicality, you know, sort of in check? As a gay male, I've always identified with being masculine and not feminine, unless I was, like, playing it for a part, or I was, like, doing it, like, for fun. So, yeah, I guess the biggest part of my personality that's changed was just that attitude shift, and thinking of this, like, oh, well, you know, as a gay male, I can get away with saying, like, sassy things, and, like, people will just be more accepting of it. It's totally not true, but I mean, I guess in my head, the rationale was that I look for the same things in men as I did when I was interested in girls. You know, a lot of the same kind of personality, and just being, like, kind and authentic and honest, and, you know, just a lot of the same kind of qualities, just in looks, and just, like, you know, people sort of conduct themselves. Really, it's like the only difference is gender. It's funny, because there are still times that I will see girls and I really identify with their personality. I'm like, if you were a guy, we would be dating right now. I'm a theater arts instructor, so I teach dance or teach musical theater, and I find that oftentimes the perspective of being a male automatically makes either parents or students be like, you know, Mr. Damon must be gay because he's a dance teacher, musical theater instructor, you know. And there are some teachers that have that persona, or that have that energy. And so it becomes this generalization that, like, all dance instructors and choreographers must be gay. The media hasn't helped in that respects. But again, going back to the personality of identifying as just someone who's masculine, or feels comfortable being quite masculine, being queer is not something that defines my personality. Being gay happens to be a facet of my personality, or of my lifestyle, but it doesn't change or dominate other aspects of my personality. It's just embedded and become a part of who I've always been. I often find that as a Asian male, more times than not, I'll see things like no Asians, no femmes, no fat people. And I'm like, so you're only looking for, like, an atypical white male that has a good body, which is, like, 90% of what the media portrays as good looking straight or gay men. And I think that the world needs to see that being gay, being queer, being whatever comes in literally every shade in the rainbow. As we approach Pride, I love everything that Pride sort of embodies in terms of celebration of being who you are, and this opportunity to show your bright colors. I find that Pride is a little bit spectacle oriented now, with, like, parades with half naked men, and they're on a TD float. I'm like, where are the floats that talk about modern families with, like, two moms and, like, two dads? Where are the floats that celebrate regular trans people? Pride should be about making society accept the normalcy that this is just a thing that happened. I'm not saying that the Pride parade doesn't have regular folks marching, because they do have it. But I'm just saying, for the most part, you'll see big companies have these giant opulent floats with, like, people, like, in glistening body paint. I'm like, does that really serve our community in terms of being body positive and being sort of positive about what should be classified as a gay male or a gay female. And I think I would love to see that in popular media and within our community in Vancouver and the greater area, that we celebrate more body positive LGBTQ relationships and more body positive showcases and, you know, stuff for trans men and trans women. It will change slowly but surely, and hopefully one day it will just be normal and we don't have to have these conversations about being gay and coming out and how you react in society, because it'll just be normal.
Allison was a recent graduate from the UBC program for Gender, Race, Sexuality, and Social Justice, and she and I have been classmates for the last 3 years. In our early acquaintance, we discussed her tentative feelings around deciding to explore her sexual identity. Today, fully out, she shares the steps that led her to this point.
My name is Allison. I am 23 years old. I am a recent graduate, and I identify kind of interchangeably between queer and pansexual, but lately I've been more gravitating towards queer. For me, pansexuality, it means that I can be attracted to any gender, and I know for some pansexual people, they say that like gender doesn't matter for them, but for me, sometimes it does. So the term queer is kind of a more umbrella, general, like overarching term that kind of just rejects heteronormative ideas of sexuality. And so for me, I feel like the term queer is a lot more vast, and it can mean many different things at different times. And it can like grow and change with me as I grow and change. When I was 20, when I first started trying to like, really, when I first really started questioning my sexuality, and I didn't really have a term to use then, and it probably took about a year for me to start using those terms. There was definitely moments when I was younger when there was definitely indications, and I actually like thought about it when I was younger, when I was like kind of 13, 14, 15. It was just too scary for me at the time. Like, even though my family is very accepting of me now, and when I was young, I knew that if I came out, my family would be accepting of me. But I wasn't really confident enough in myself when I was that age. And I liked boys. So I was like, oh, I really like boys, so I'm probably just straight. But then when I was around 20 and I really started questioning it, and it was scary at first, and it was really confusing. But when it came down to it, when I finally started being comfortable with it, it was extremely freeing just to say, like, this is who I am, and, like, I'm not straight, I'm not necessarily bisexual, but I'm pansexual, queer. So I have different styles of coming out. If it's just someone who's, like, older, like my parents' generation, like a family friend or something, where I, like, kind of want to let them know I'm not straight, I usually just say I'm bi, because it's close enough. And a lot of the time, I just can't be bothered to go into the whole explanation of, like, pansexuality and queerness, because it's a lot of emotional energy, and just, like, so much of the time, I just don't want to put up with that. And I've come out to, like, my family, and I did, like, the stereotypical, like, cheesy coming out post on Facebook. And I'm really happy I did that, because it was getting to a point with, like, so I was out to my, like, my immediate family, like my siblings and my parents, for about a year and a bit, but I wasn't out to like my extended family, like my aunts and my uncles, and I just didn't really want to like have to like talk to each of them individually, so like the Facebook thing was kind of like the easier way to go, like hitting them all at once. So that's why I did that, and I've been like really extremely fortunate that, like, all of my family has been, like, extremely accepting and very, very validating of me and my identity. I mean, I want to reiterate that I'm, like, very, very lucky and very, I guess, privileged to the fact that, like, in terms of the people I've come out to, I've faced, like, very, very little discrimination. But coming out was important to me because I really wanted to be truthful to who I am and my identity. And being queer is such a big part of who I am. I didn't really want to hide that from my family anymore. And I kind of felt like me not telling them was being just disingenuous and not being true to who I am. And I think in terms of my personality, I'm a lot more, like, overtly enthusiastic about queer things. Before I came out, I didn't always want to do that because I thought if, like, I talked about liking a gay, I'm using, like, air quotes here, like, a gay thing or something associated with, like, gayness or queerness, I would, like, out myself. But now that I'm out to almost all of the people in my life, I feel like I can just genuinely be more myself. When it comes to, like, dating people, I'm just whatever gender the person is. I'm just, like, I like having, like, a upfront and honest conversation about, like, how I identify and how, like, that's important to me. And I think, like, I guess with any relationship, that's an important conversation to have. But if I'm, like, dating men, I like putting that out front right away, like, sometimes almost on the first date, just to, like, make sure that's said and that that person's okay with it. And if they're not, it's obviously, like, I'm not going to waste my time going on another date. So, like, I am on, like, online dating because that's how, like, people meet nowadays. And straight men just, they lack a certain tact sometimes. But then again, sometimes that's also, like, a really good litmus test, I find. Especially if I'm trying online dating because I just, on my profile, I say, like, I'm queer. And a lot of the time, just straight men are gross and, like, fetishize my queerness. And multiple times I've had straight men message me and ask me, I quote, "I don't understand the queer thing. Do you like guys or girls more?" So it's a pretty good litmus for having that on, like, a dating profile. There's, like, a stereotypical understanding of, like, what a queer woman looks like or what, like, a lesbian, I'm using air quotes again, like, what a lesbian looks like. I don't really fit into that. And it can be very difficult sometimes in terms of, like, how I present myself, feeling like I don't look queer enough, whatever that means, or, like, I don't, like, fit in looks-wise enough. And that's something I've definitely struggled with. But lately, I've been really trying to accept my femme side and really, like, I know this sounds cheesy, but, like, letting it shine and just, like, embracing my femness and my femininity, and that really, I get a lot of self-confidence from that. And I'm currently obsessed with lipstick, buying all the lipsticks all the time, putting on lipstick and taking selfies and that kind of stuff. And it's just, to me, it sounds kind of like, to, like, some people, they're like, oh, that's kind of, like, hokey and, like, shallow and not important. But to me, it's like, it is really important because it's, like, an important part of who I am and how I express myself. And, like, in media and just so much, like, queer femme women don't get, like, recognized and don't really have that visibility. And I think it's, like, really important to, like, reclaim that and, like, take up that identity for myself and present that identity however I want to present it. So I identify as queer, identify as femme, and identify as someone who has multiple invisible disabilities, one of which is that I am blind in one eye and I have chronic pain. And I mean, I acknowledge that, like, I am physically able-bodied and I have a lot of privileges that other people who are living with disabilities don't have, but at the same time, some queer environments are really not conducive to people who have disabilities or, like, varying abilities. So sometimes it can be a bit difficult. There's, like, a pretty big, like, queer party scene within Vancouver. And, like, a lot of the time I just really don't find those spaces accessible to me. So a lot of the time I just like have to like miss out on that, and that like really, it really sucks. But like I'm like, I have really a lot of friends who like I can hold other spaces with and spend time with them in other ways, and like that is what I hold as important to me.
Noor was one of the first people to respond to my Facebook post asking for contributors, which was no surprise given her vocal activist engagement locally and on social media. Noor and I met during a production of the Vagina Monologues at UBC 3 years ago, where she currently works with the AMS Sexual Assault Support Center.
So my name is Noor. I am 27 years old, and I work at the AMS Sexual Assault Support Center, and I identify as a queer, femme, Muslim, Arab woman of color. I think queer for myself is like really an all-encompassing term. I think it allows for folks with like multiple oppressions to be able to experience their differing identities in a way that maybe wasn't allowed before. I think like when, like for me, myself, when I hear words like lesbian or gay, while I sort of still identify with them, I think always of like combating heterosexuality, and that's not necessarily how it works for a lot of people, and a lot of people who don't fit into the gender binary don't necessarily see that as words that they can use for themselves. So for me, like, talking about queer is not only a reclamation of a word that was used to hurt people in the LGBTQ community, but also a way to hopefully work towards being an ally of people who don't fit into the gender binary, and people who don't fit into whiteness and white, like LGBTQ sort of Western ideas of being queer. And so queer is so much more than just gay or lesbian. And so I think that for me, that's why it's important to be like a term for me to use. In general, femme is like a reclamation of quote-unquote feminine style, feminine icons, like the idea of feminine, but reclaimed in a queer sense. So reclaimed in a way that is empowering and positive and enables all genders to experiment with femness and femininity in a way that I think we're not allowed to, or maybe not allowed to, but discouraged from doing, especially like internalized femphobia really exists in the queer community and in the, you know, in the real world. And so for me, femme was really about just reclaiming those parts of myself that I thought I wasn't allowed to express or wasn't allowed to enjoy. And it ties back into also being Arab and just like having the ability to express myself in a femme way, but also expressing it in an Arab femme way as well. I've probably used these words for like 3-4 years now. I think I really came into them in my mid to late 20s, just because what we're exposed to is just very white LGBTQ sort of ideas and like mainstream ideas and media and all of that is all just very like lesbian and gay and bi and which are great, again, great terms, but like I want more. I want all the oppressions to be recognized and identified. I thought it was at 15 when like a friend of mine had come out and she said that she was bi, and I was like, oh, I wonder if I'm bi. Like, I don't know what that means. Like, what does that mean for me? Like, I'm Arab. I'm Muslim. I can't be bi. But I was thinking back to, like, when I was, like, in my early teens and just, like, really being obsessed with this one member from S Club 7. And I just remember, like, being like, oh, I love Joe. She's just the greatest. She's just the prettiest. And I just was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, oh, my God, I knew I was queer a long time ago. I just didn't want to recognize it. So I mostly came out to my high school friends when I was around 16, 17, like around that time. I didn't come out to my parents. I'm still not out to my parents or most of my family. My brother knows, but the rest of my family doesn't know. And I did it in like a, oh, I think I'm bisexual. Like, I did it in a way that I didn't really recognize what what my queerness meant or what it was. Like, I didn't know. And I think it was just like this suppressed idea of like, oh, if I say I'm bi, then I can still be straight and I can still be okay with my parents, which is like all kinds of messed up. But yeah, so my high school friends knew when I was about 16, 17. And then from there, like, I moved to Kuwait and I had to come out all over again to some folks. And so it was hard for me to decide whether or not I wanted to come out in Kuwait, mostly again because there are a lot of ideas about what it looks like to be Muslim, to be Arab, and be queer. But I did end up coming out, and I actually had my first relationship in Kuwait, so like it somehow ended up working out. And then when I came here, I just decided that I was going to live openly. Like, when I moved to UBC, I was going to just live openly and be who I was. People were very supportive. I think I was mostly surprised by coming out in Kuwait and having folks be supportive. And while I didn't come out to, you know, the entire, like, my entire class or anything like that, the people that I did come out to, the people that I hung out with, the friends that I had were very supportive, were very loving and had my back. And, you know, in the beginning, they, like, made jokes and they were like, I can't believe you didn't come out to us from the beginning. Can't believe you thought we wouldn't have your back, which is, like, again, just an interesting idea of what we have, the ideas that we have about being Arab, being Muslim, being in the Arab world and being queer. People are supportive. People are more supportive than you think that they will be. While I think that coming out is super important, I also recognize the dangers and the safety concerns that some folks may have in coming out. So for me, it's really about, am I going to sever ties with my family and is it worth it? And so that's been a huge process that I'm still trying to figure out in my late 20s, you know, whether or not I want to sever those ties. And while I don't think that they will be severed forever, I do definitely think that it's going to be like a work in progress to rebuild relationships. And I don't think that my relationship with my family will be what it used to be or be what it is now. But it's a learning process, and it's something that I'm working on currently. You know, I've made the decision that I will be coming out at some point in the next, you know, year, two, three, five, who knows? It's going to happen. I just have to kind of recognize that it's okay to take my time and it's okay to seek help and to surround myself by chosen family who is going to accept me for who I am and is going to love me for who I am. I think for me, like, being Arab and being queer is like actively trying to surround myself with people who are Arab or Muslim and queer, just because the mainstream queer community, I'll say, in Vancouver is very like white and cisgender. It's been difficult trying to explain my feelings to people. And it's not anyone's fault, right? It's my own lived experience, which people haven't had. And so surrounding myself by people who have had similar lived experiences or the same lived experience has been the most emotionally eye-opening experience for me. I didn't know that by surrounding myself with people who are Muslim and Arab or Muslim or Arab and queer can be so healing. And I think that that for me is like sort of where I'm seeing my relationships going or investing in relationships that kind of look like that, just so that I can heal the trauma that I live with and trauma that I'm only just now starting to recognize that I have. There are no walls, right? Like, that's the thing. There are no walls in my relationships with my friends. Like, it's open and it's honest and it's heartfelt and it's hard sometimes and you cry sometimes and it's great and it's fucking awesome. Because my family doesn't know, they're like, I've been dating my partner for 2.5 years and they don't know that. They don't know that I have a life here. They don't know that, like, I'm thinking about future and marriage and kids and house, and they don't know any of this. And so for me, the biggest part is like when I go back to visit and my mom is like, so marriage, when is that going to happen? So that's really been the biggest struggle for me, the disconnect of sort of two worlds. I think I just want to say, like, it's okay not to come out. It's okay to take your time in coming out, and that coming out looks different for everyone. And no matter what your journey is and no matter what your coming out story will look like, it is valid and it is real, and own it. again, I'm 27 years old and I'm just recognizing all this stuff. Like, I can't even imagine what people who are older, younger than me going through right now.
In early June, I did a call out on Facebook asking if anyone in my network wanted to share their story of coming out. Josie was the first person to get back to me. She is an artist and activist who lives off of Commercial Drive. When I arrived at her character home for the interview, her cat made sure she was the center of attention. We settled into her living room to chat.
My name's Josie Boyce. I live in East Vancouver, lived here for a long time, and I'm one of the organizers for the Trans March happening August 4th. I kind of do, what do you call, I guess, you know, Jane or Jack of all trades. I do a lot of poetry. I have 3 poetry books and that I've published, and I have a memoir, and I also do painting and graphic design. So I do a lot of different artistic endeavors, I guess. Started writing poems in college. I took a creative writing course. I always went to open mics. You know, the first time I did it, which is in Winnipeg, I was just a big ball of sweat. And it was also in the 90s, very much in the closet, trans-wise. And a lot of it, especially if you look back at some poems I thought that were not about that, actually are about being trans. So I had a lot to say about that and a lot to work out. And then I found, as I've aged, I kind of sort of just want to have prose about that. Very early on in my probably late teens, early 20s, I started identifying as bi or queer. Just then, that was the time, I'm old, that was the time that, you know, queer started becoming a word that was more acceptable usage. People self-identified as opposed to having it be a slur. And I'd always sort of, my whole life, you know, known I was trans, but, you know, as a kid, I didn't have the language for it because it wasn't there, right? You know, there were just, like, sensationalistic stories of transvestites in the National Enquirer and stuff, right? That was the only thing I knew, stories of forced feminization and stuff, or horrible, you know, serial killers in movies, right? So, you know, you kind of don't want to be that, right? You know, and but as I got a little older and I did more reading, you know, I definitely read up on stuff, and I started, as soon as I saw the word transgender, I was like, okay, that's me. And, you know, I started coming out to friends and family in my early 20s, and nobody really understood it. Like, I talked to my mom a few years after I first came out to her, and she was like, oh, I thought you were telling me you were gay, you know, because she just didn't have any understanding of it either, even though I explained it. I grew up actually in New Brunswick, okay, in the 70s and the 80s, and then I moved to Winnipeg for university in the 80s. And for me, it was, I really came out here because I wanted to escape the sort of persona that I developed to pretend I wasn't trans, which I had in Winnipeg, and I didn't feel like I could do it there. I wanted to go somewhere new and start over. Right. But it still took me a long time. You know, I've only been transitioning really since 2012. So I sort of was in and out of the closet over the decades since. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, always almost transitioning, but not quite where I wasn't ready. When I first got to Vancouver, there was an elder trans woman who started a transgender support group. And because she was using that terminology, I went. And that really helped me sort of at that time be able to come out to my mom and some of my friends, because I had sort of a little bit of a support, you know, in the community. And that led me to, you know, like going to the old gender clinic on Heather Street, and where there was so much gatekeeping, I wasn't able, like I couldn't, I started to transition in 95 and I had to stop because there was too much gatekeeping, too much psychiatry, and now there's not. To physically transition, you know, as they would have put it, yeah, you needed to talk to a lot of psychiatrists, not just one, not just once. And there was the whole thing then of the, you know, you had to live as, you know, live as the other gender because they only considered there to be two. You couldn't, like, I would tell them that I would mention being bi, and the psychiatrist literally were telling me like, oh, you shouldn't say that. Right. Because, you know, they wanted you to be this version of a woman that was, you know, maybe 20 or 30 years out of date. You know, I was only 29 years old and I was wearing kind of sexy clothes. And they're like, you should be maybe a little more conservative. And I'm like, I'm not even 30. You know, like, yeah.